song. I believe this song was written 150 years ago at least, maybe in the Revolutionary War. I can't put the date to that. Well, let's do verse 1, the Star Spangled Banner.
King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Bless you, Sister Laura. Appreciate that. Appreciate the good song service this morning. Once again, as we said, we appreciate you being here in service with us. We're thankful that you found your way here. I do continue to pray for those that are, I'm thankful for our first responders and those that are helping and there to help in storms and things of that nature. But I'm thankful that God is our very present help in trouble, and He's there to help us. And I'm thankful for that. I want to say I'm thankful this morning to live in this country. Our country is not perfect. There's none that is. But I'm thankful to live in this country. I'm thankful to have the freedom and the liberty to worship a risen Savior. I'm thankful that I'm able to come into this house of worship today without the fear or favor of man, that I can worship Him in spirit and truth. The Scripture teaches us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And I'm thankful this morning for that freedom. There's a song that came out several years ago, and I don't know the title of it, but it says that all gave some, and some gave all. And as we prepare for Memorial Day, we think about the men and the women who have sacrificed their life. They've laid it down that we might have this very freedom and this very liberty that we have here today. There's a great cost with being free. There's a great cost that's been paid that we have the liberty that we have today. There's a great cost that was paid in a spiritual sense that we have the freedom and the liberty that we have to worship a risen Savior. To know what it is, Brother Buddy spoke this morning about having that no-soul feeling salvation. One that you can feel and one that you know there's real. Anything that's worth having is going to cost. And a lot of times there's a great price to be paid for it. And this morning, I guess my thought may be simple. I've got some reading, if the Lord will permit me to try to get through it. I want to take this morning our reading lesson from Malachi. I want to take a reading lesson this morning from Malachi. And I guess if I had to title this sermon, I know Brother Strode likes a good title. But if I had to title this sermon this morning, I would title it, Has It Been a Prophet to You? Has it been a prophet to you? I'm thankful this morning for the love of God. I'm thankful this morning that He showed me mercy. He extended His grace to me. I'm thankful this morning that He helped grant us the faith. And I encourage you here today, if you're here and lost, that you might seek the Lord. The greatest thing that will ever happen to you in your life is being saved. Malachi, we don't know a whole lot about him in a sense of his person. But we can pretty well look at the Scripture, and we know that this would take place sometime after those that had been exiled from Babylon had went back into Jerusalem after they had rebuilt the temple and after the construction of the wall and Nehemiah had taken place. And here it is, if you'll find through the book of Ezra and through Nehemiah, that the Lord had spoken through them and continued to encourage them, as Haggai, even the prophet, had said, you know, you build your own houses. He told them to consider their ways. He said, you build your own house. He said, but yet the Lord's house lies in waste. So he told them to consider their ways. And we can find there through Ezra and different ones that still through those efforts, the people still really hadn't wasn't doing what they needed to do, I guess you could say. And the verse that's on my heart, and we're going to go back in some of the parts here of Malachi, but the verse that's on my heart is here in this third chapter in the 14th verse. It says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. With the mistakes that we made reading, and here it is in that 14th verse again, our thought, he said, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we keep His ordinances? And I began to think about that, and Noah Webster defined prophet as this. He says literally to proceed forward, to advance. So that is what it is, as Noah described what a prophet is. So has it been a prophet to you? And as I began to think about Memorial Day and began to think about the countless ones who have laid down their life that we might have this freedom, that we might have this great liberty, it is such a responsibility today that is laid upon our shoulders as God's people, that we keep living by the standards of His Word, that we keep promoting the truths of God's Word. And yet, even in a dark time and a dark world, I'm thankful, as we was told this morning, that God is still in control, that God knows all things. And in the beginning of this chapter, you'll find here that it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And it says here, and this is God speaking through Malachi, He says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved me? And so here it is, before the Lord begins to rebuke, and before He begins to explain to them the things and the nature of the things that they're doing, He tells them that He loves them. And this morning, I once again, as I've said, that I'm thankful for the love of God. And I'm thankful that He loves whom He chastens. I'm thankful this morning that, as I've said here before, in talking about my children, and I don't want to get too much into my personal life, but I'm thankful this morning that I love my children enough that I want them to respect me. I want them to respect their mother. I want them to respect the house of God. I want them to reverence the Lord. I want them to grow up to be good boys. And my friend, I discipline those children. I want them to understand this morning that there's a responsibility in living a good moral life and being an upstanding person. We talk about this culture that we live in. And the other day, as I was on that cruise, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like my head's still swimming. I told Jessica this morning, I said, I'm still bobbing back and forth. I told her I'm going to hang on to the podium this morning. But as I was on that cruise, and I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman on that boat, and me and him, he's a Baptist. He lives over in North Carolina. And he said, he was talking about the culture and the day and time that we live in. And he said, I have a deep concern for my children. I have a deep concern for his young son. And he said, the culture and the time that we're living in, he said, it's such a dark time. And I said, it is. I said, listen, when you're living in a day and time where boys don't know if they want to be boys and girls don't know if they want to be girls, and you've got schools that are allowing, this is crazy, but I'm telling you, I've heard it's true, they're allowing litter boxes and kids is dressing up as animals and all kinds of wild stuff, folks. It's a crazy time. But I'm thankful that God is still in control. I'm thankful as we begin to, I'll get into my message in a minute, just bear with me. As I was standing on the back of that boat and I was looking out and it was dark time, and I looked out and I could see the stars in the sky. It was beautiful. And then I could look out and see the vastness of the ocean. And I thought, I'm so small right here. And the day and time we're living in, everybody's trying to develop something new or come up with something new or discovering something new. But there's still things in the depths of the ocean that man has never seen. There's still things in the sky that man has never seen. As the Scripture teaches us that there's a world and time that we live in that man says, well, there's no heaven because man has never seen it with his eye. And yet the Scripture tells us that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God hath prepared for them. Folks, people want to try to understand God. And I have a hard time understanding. When you think you begin to get a grasp on Him,
there's still so much yet to learn and so much more knowledge to gain. Sometimes I think, as it was told to me years ago, they said sometimes they made mention that we don't always need to worship the creation, but we need to worship the Creator. And that settled into my heart when I was standing out there and I thought about how small that I really was. And then I began to thank God how great that You are. Look at what You've created. And yet God loves me. So here, as He began to rebuke them, He told them that He loved them. And He says, they ask, wherein hast Thou loved us? He says, when have You showed us our love? Yet God had delivered them. They had been in exile. God had delivered them just as He promised in His Word. Oftentimes Israel will find, even before they become a divided kingdom, we can find where He had brought them out of bondage, had led them across the Red Sea on dry ground. He provided manna. He provided quail. He provided everything that they needed. Their shoes had never worn out. And yet they said, wherein hast Thou loved us? God had made them a rich nation. We'll find that Solomon, oftentimes we go back to where Solomon had built the, we find where David had began that work and getting the materials, and Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord. And we know the Scripture teaches us that as Solomon began to pray and dedicate that temple, we oftentimes quote this Scripture. It says that if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and repent and seek My face, He said, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. I know I didn't quote that just exactly right. But we say that a lot of times. And then we sit back and we wonder sometimes when life gets difficult and life gets hard, where's God? Has God loved us? God loves us all the time. God is here. He's present. His Spirit, He loves us immensely. He loves us so much before the foundation of the world. He knew that man was going to fall, and He made a plan for mankind that through His only begotten Son that would give His life, that would pay a price that we could not pay, that His Son would come and pay a debt. So here it is, they said, wherein hast Thou loved us? In this sixth verse, He said, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, He says, where is My honor? And if I be a master, where is My fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. He said, O priest that despise My name, and you say, wherein have we despised Thy name? So you find here they begin to question these things. They say, where have You loved us? When have You loved us? When have we despised Your name? He said, you offer polluted bread upon Mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted Thee? He goes over here in this 13th verse. He says, and ye say also, behold, what a weariness it is. But ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus have you brought an offering that should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. So here it is, and in this second chapter, He gets to talking about those priests that were, and even here, but He gets to talking about these priests that was polluted in their marriage, how that even they were marrying off to those daughters that had strange gods. And so here it is, He's talking about an offering that they've made to them. And my friend, I told you before that if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to cost you something in this life. If you're going to take up the cross and follow after Him, it's going to cost you something. And my friend, I'm thankful that as we think about this Memorial Day, we think about all of those, and I'm talking not just in recent history, there's been those that have laid down their life. I think about a great cause this morning. I think about those that we talk about through the dark ages, and bless your heart, I hope you don't ever forget it. But we think about those that went through the dark ages that stood upon the biblical principles. that when we find there that when the Catholic Church, and I'm not trying to run nobody down this morning, but it's recorded in Martyr's Mirror, but you'll find there that those that had given their life, and we talk about some 50 million Christians, some 50 million men, women, and children. I've read through that book. It's about that thick. And I can tell you of a 14-year-old boy that stood up and they said, all you've got to do is recant and say that you go along with infant baptism. And he said, I won't recant. He wrote a letter out. And this boy being 14 years old, and they took a sword to his head and they cut his head off. And you ask me, what profit was it to him? My friend, I'm thankful that I can look back in the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the men and the women who have fought to defend the liberty that we have here today, and I'm thankful for those people that their names may never be heard of, that we may never know, but they stood upon something, my friend, that was a profit to their life. That young man being 14 years old, can you imagine being 14? And all you've got to say is, yes, I recant. I believe in infant baptism. But that young man said, there's something more to what God has. There's something in my heart that's burning. There's a spirit in there. It's not based upon baptism, but it's something you can feel. And he went to death for a cause. And that book is thick of them. Men, women, children, burned at the stake. Sewed up in sackcloth bags, pitched in rivers. Why? Because they stood on something. God had been a prophet to them. So I ask you this morning, has serving the Lord been a profit to you? Or do you find yourself wearied with it? Well, that's where they were. They found themselves weary. They said, he said over here, he said, but you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Let me ask you something this morning. I know this morning we had storms and we had all kinds of things. Is it a weariness to you to get up on Sunday morning and come to the Lord's house? Oh, I don't know if I want to get up this morning. I don't know if I want to go. Is it a weariness to go out to revival meet? Is it a weariness to bring your children and come to Sunday school? Is it a weariness to come to the Lord's house on Wednesday night for Bible study? I want you to know this morning how good God has been to us. I could work and labor every day of my life, every minute, every second I've got for Him, and I could never repay Him for what He's done for me. And people sit back and say, how does people go to church every Sunday? What offering are we giving to God? He told them here what their offering was. He said, you've brought that which was torn and lame and that which was sick. Thus you brought an offering. He said, should I accept this? And when we come to the house of the Lord, are we bringing our best to God? Are we bringing everything that we've got to give to Him? I've told you before, church, I can't manifest the Spirit of God. Lord's in control of all of that stuff. I can't do anything on my own. I'll tell you this. I want to preach. Every time that the Lord gives me an opportunity, I want to preach it just like it's the last time that He's ever going to give me to stand. Because I may not have a tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow to serve God. Today may be the last day. What if it was the last opportunity that you had to stand and share what the Lord had done for you? I'm going to tell you this. There's going to come a last day for you. There's going to come a last day that I'll preach the last sermon that I do. And I want to say this morning, where I'm headed, I won't need this Bible anymore. I won't need it. I'm going somewhere where the gospel won't have to be preached. I'm going somewhere where the Lord Jesus is. But I'm telling you, folks, we've got today, we've got right now. Is it a weariness to us? He moved on here in this second chapter, and he begins to point out to those priests. Boy, I tell you, this one right here really hit home with me. Listen to what he says. He said, the law of truth was in his mouth and the iniquity was found in his lips, and he walked with me in peace and iniquity and didn't turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, and ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of the Levites, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore I have also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but ye have been partial in the law. Now he goes on here to talk about how that they had dealt treacherously. He says, ye have caused many to stumble at the law. And folks, we need to make it plain. We need to make it, I believe in my heart, we need to make it where the youngest one here can understand what they need to do to be saved. They need to understand that there's a heaven worth gaining and there's a hell worth shunning. They need to understand that there's a home in heaven that's awaiting them, and I want them to want to go. I don't ever want to lay any stumbling blocks in anybody's way. I want to be the one that there on that city of refuge that they would go out and they would make sure the signs was in place. They'd go out and make sure that the rocks and the road was picked up. And my friend, today, that's what we need to be doing. If there's any stumbling blocks that's in the way, we need to be picking them up. I don't ever want to cause anybody to stumble. He says, yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been a witness. Well, I don't feel the need to read that. I'm going to go on. 17th verse. He says, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied? Wherein have we wearied? I don't know about y'all, but I feel like a lot of times when I go to the Lord in prayer, I'm just asking. And boy, I tell you, when it gets sweet to me is when we get to think. Lord, thank you. Lord, I know I'm nothing. Lord, I know what I deserve. Lord, I know without you I'd have no hope. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for extending your mercy and your grace to me, though I didn't deserve it. The Lord, I believe we've got to get ourselves to a place to where God can hear us. But I want to go here to this third chapter. I'll move on. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek, and shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so it is here, as they were asking all of these questions. When have I wearied you? When have I done? When have I polluted your table? When have I done all of these things? When hast thou loved me? When have I done this? When have I done that? Here it is, God says, even though you've done all of that, he said, I'll send my messenger. Now, we know that some 400 silent years goes by, and John the Baptist, just as he had promised, you'll find about in the Matthew in the 11th chapter in the 10th verse, where the same verse of Scripture is brought up, referring to John the Baptist who came to prepare the way of the Lord. And what did he preach? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And that's still what we're preaching today. That's still what those 50 million Christians believe, that you must repent with your whole heart, turn to the Lord, trust in Him with everything that you have, and then He'll save you. He's got to draw you. He said, no man can come unto the Father unless the Father who sent me draweth him. He works conviction in your heart. It's still by repentance. He says, the messenger will go before me and prepare the way before me. Now, I know John the Baptist. Jesus said there was none greater than John the Baptist, born of woman. He said, yet he's the least in the kingdom of God. You think about John the Baptist. You think about his preaching. He didn't just baptize anybody. He told him, he said, you must bring forth fruit meet for repentance. You must give me evidence of something that's happened to you. We look at what happened to John the Baptist. John told him, I believe it was Herod that had married his brother's wife. He was having a dinner party, if you will. There was a lot of people that was there. And you remember his daughter was dancing. I guess you could say his stepdaughter. She was dancing. He said, anything you want, I'll give to you. Her mother despised John the Baptist. She said, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter, on a charger. She said. You know what he done? He cut his head off. But you know what John never did? He never repented for standing upon the truth. He never repented for standing upon the truth of God's Word. He told him, he said, you've married your brother's wife. He said, that's wrong. And we've got to stand on the biblical truths. I'm wearing y'all's patience. I'm going to be done just here in a minute. He said, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Let me ask you something. The messenger of the covenant, the covenant of grace. John said that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you delight in Him? I mean, truly. It's a self-reflection. Do you delight in Him? Delight, we think about joy. That word delight has a stronger meaning than joy. It means to endure. Joy lasts just for a little time. To delight in something is persistent. Do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in His presence? Do you delight in singing and uplifting? Do you delight in sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Do you delight in telling people about what He's done for you? Do you delight in telling people how He's blessed your life, how He's blessed your family? Do you delight in telling your young friends about a Jesus that saved? I'm going to tell you, there's a delight in serving God. You know what he goes on to say? He talks about who shall be able to stand when he comes. I'm going to read this and I'll be done. He says in the sixth verse of this third chapter, he said, "For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." What God required then is the same thing that he requires now. And do you know what he required of them? To repent. Repent. Get yourself in a place to where everything you do reflects me. Get yourself in a place to where you're offering a sacrifice that I'm pleased with. Marry those that I've told you to marry. Listen, if we're going to offer God something this morning, it needs to mean something to us. God doesn't just want the sick and the torn. He doesn't just want the very little that we can give Him. God wants all of us. If we're going to offer something to Him, we need to offer the best that we've got. When we come into this house of worship, I want to offer Him the very best that I've got. I may not be a very good preacher, but bless your heart, I want to try to preach just like God's called me to preach. You know, we talk about surrendering to the Lord. When I was lost and separated from God, and I was praying, and I finally come down to that place that I didn't know what else God wanted, I just gave up. I just surrendered. And you know what amazes me? Out of everything that God wants, do you know what He wants most? He wants you. He wants you and He wants all of you. He doesn't just want the bare minimum of what you can give Him, but He wants every bit of you. Well, I tell you, preaching's a big responsibility. One day after a while, I'm going to have to answer for a whole lot of things. I'm sure of it. But while I'm here in this life and I've got just a few days, I don't know how long I've got. I want to work for Him. I want to point lost souls to Him. And lost person here this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, you need to understand this morning that He is a consuming Father. And He changes not. And my friend, yes, He loves us. He loves us immensely. But my friend, if you fail to believe and to repent and trust in Him with a whole heart, you'll burn forever in hell. We need to tell people about this Jesus. We need to tell people about what He can do for their life. Young person, I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. There's just a handful of you here this morning. I don't know if y'all realize the impact that you can have on your friends. You've been saved. You've been born again. You might be able to reach them. I may never reach them, but you might be able. I remember years ago, used to be this boy. We was in school together. He's kind of a mean fella. He come out to revival meeting where I was one night. He's coming around to handshake, and I could tell the Lord was working on him, and I thought, boy, I really don't want to have to say anything to him. But the Lord got to knocking on my heart. And you know what happened when he come around that handshake and he grabbed my hand? He come out just about as fast as I ever thought he. All I looked at him was said, "Don't you want to go?" Now, I didn't do anything. But you know what happened? His knees buckled right underneath him, and he started praying and seeking God. And that man got saved. It wasn't anything I done. God done every bit of that. Because if it was up to me, I'd have never said a word to him. He was a mean fellow. But I'll say this, he had a changed heart when he left that church. God changes not. Listen to what he says. He said, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone astray from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. How long has it been since you felt the Spirit of God? I'm not judging you this morning. I'm just asking you. How long has it been? He makes it very clear in his words, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and I said, boy, I'm really struggling finding a message. You know what he told me? He said, you might have to make a trip out to the stump. And I said, I believe you're right. You know what will happen when you return to the Lord? The same thing that happened to me the night. No, he won't save you again. But boy, he'll pour out a blessing upon you. And that's what he says right here. Well, he goes on. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed me? Have we robbed God? I'm guilty of it. I think if we're all honest, we're probably all guilty. You say, where have we robbed God? We can tithe all day long. And tithing, I believe, is the responsibility of God's people. But God wants more than that. God wants all of us. He wants us to surrender. You know what he says here? He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I want you to think about that. How long has it been since your cup has overflowed? How long has it been since you felt like God just opened up a window and poured out a blessing on you like you hadn't received in a long time? And I'm just being honest with you. If that's something that you want and you desire, it's going to take some time on our knees. It's going to take some time praying. It's going to take some time, just as that publican was, as he couldn't even lift his eyes up to look up at the temple, and he smote upon his breast. He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort to open up the windows of heaven and to receive a blessing so much that we can't even receive it. Have you ever been there in your life? Anybody? Show of hands if you've ever received a blessing so much that you couldn't receive. I'll tell you this, when the Lord saved me, well, I tell you, it was awful rich. He just opened up and just poured it out on me. I knew that God loved me, but when he saved me, boy, I could feel God's love. And I'm thankful there's been some times in my life that God has just poured out a blessing so much on me that I didn't feel like I could even receive it. I told you before, I asked you, I said, has it been a profit to you? Let me ask you this. The countless millions of people that have laid down their life that we might have the opportunity that we have today, it's been a profit to you. It's been a profit to me. Living a life and standing upon the biblical principles should be a profit to us. It shouldn't be wearisome. It should be a profit to our life. I pray today that God blesses you in your life. I've been a blessed man. We sing that song, I count my blessings one by one. If we all counted our blessings one by one, we'd be here for, ain't no telling how. God has been far greater to me than I deserve. It's not wearisome in serving the Lord. We ought to delight and get to serve God. It's a privilege. There's been a great cost that's been paid that we have the privilege, the honor that we have here today. It's a profit. I've gained by it. And I pray that you get gained by it too. Brother, if we'll get a song, that's my attempt at a message today. I pray that it helps you some way, somehow. Lost person, today you're lost and separated from God. You're going to have to return to the Lord. And once you return to the Lord, He'll return to you. Go to the Lord with your whole heart. Seek Him while He may be found. Knock, and He'll answer. Seek the Lord while He may be found.